Number 109, an episode of TYH. My name is Anglo. With me, I have Nike.
Hi.
Only cool people.
I'm the number two person on this podcast out of two.
We're going to have a treat for you at the end of the podcast. But only cool people know what we're referencing with that intonation in our voice.
I think a lot of people will know.
Because everyone's cool. Duh.
Yes, exactly. I don't even understand how people speak like that. You just get a cadence that's totally inorganic.
For you guys who don't know, I actually don't know his YouTube name. But there's this guy on YouTube who does like top 10 lists. Usually like of creepy things. And he has a cadence where he talks like this, and he has an intonation. Everything is just a little bit weird. And for some reason, he is popular. His videos are very widespread.
I think he's ironically popular.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know, man, because before we get into the comments, have you seen YouTube Shorts?
I was watching some today. They are just the worst content ever.
Yeah, it's literally the worst shite in the world.
So I actually experienced like a new level of minimal effort content thanks to that, where it's just a satisfying content compilation video, and then half the screen is just taken up by this static picture of a Negroid.
Okay.
Just looking. It's just a static image.
Well,
and it's like reaction, and the reaction is a static image.
Ooh!
No.
Oh.
Why are you sending you the picture?
Yeah, you could send me that. Well, there's this one that I saw of this Eastern European like couple with a baby. And he, like, his wife or his girlfriend, whatever, opens the back of their minivan thingy-majingy, the European equivalent of that. He comes out of the sewer, opens up the manhole coming out the sewer, and he puts a banana when she's not looking inside the back of the van. And he goes back into the manhole and closes it, and she looks back, and she sees a banana in the trunk back area, whatever it's called, in the van, and she's freaks out, and then you hear
like some generic laugh track.
Yeah. And single
shit is awful.
Every single one of their videos has that laugh track too. Literally all their videos of that guy, this like Pole, I don't know what he is, Bulgarian, something or other.
I posted the screenshot.
Is this on the computer or you send it to
yes.
me?
Yes. It's in the It's a static image of that guy.
Just reacting.
Well, that's his face. Could you call that a reaction? It seems very, like, blank to me.
It's just your reaction of getting sniped on CSGO.
You know, my reaction when born in Africa.
His hands are pretty much blue.
Like Moulin Yantir.
No, literally, that's the best insult because it's true when they get really dark.
It is true. It's like you are the reflection of moonlight on an eggplant at night.
Yeah. Because that an eggplant color is very specific, and they have it sometimes.
Like in the dark. I mean, if you have light reflecting off an eggplant, that's what black people look like.
Let me go see if I could find the shorts. Keep on going. Yeah, it's going to be too hard to find it. But
it's very easy to just...
The content is literal, the worst pile of feces.
It's very easy to just keep watching because they're so short.
Yeah, they're like literally 5 seconds, like, or less.
And like after a bit, you have some curiosity to see if you're ever going to get to anything good. And the only reason I click on any shorts is because it you'll get like a recommended short.
Yeah.
That's related to the video you're actually watching, like originally.
Yeah.
And you click it to see what it is, but then the next thing that like auto plays afterwards is just algorithmic recommendation based on what's popular.
Algorithmic terror.
Yes.
Well, it's not even terror because you're not even, you just don't even react. It literally puts you in a zombie-like mode.
Yeah, it's more like algorithmic zombification.
Meditation. It's really... No,
this is like...
No, yeah, this
algorithmic dehumanization.
Yeah, zombification, dehumanization. That we should start a, like, you know, one of those cool underground rappers with the big words.
Algorithmic dehumanization.
Algorithmic dehumanization, mechanization of our imagination.
And like every word is, or every letter has a
shin.
Well, no, it's like an acronym, but it doesn't actually stand for anything.
Oh,
you ever seen hip hop albums that have like long acronym names that are just real words, like
yeah,
like automatic, and then but it's like an
autotism. Acronym. Okay, that was stupid. Continue.
We can do that for algorithmic dehumanization.
Mechanization of our imagination. The brain waves turn into television. I don't know. Yeah. Mathematical. Spiritual, lyrical, individual. But I we can now turn to the comments. As you guys know, we like to read your comments. Because we appreciate our fans. And one way to show our appreciation is to read your comments. And your comments are usually of utterly high quality. It's undeniable. So let's start from the very beginning. We have our friend Tam on June 7th. Yes, this was almost a month ago. He says, he quotes something from our description. The beginning of our description says, in this episode, we will use big words like parapraxis and teratoma.
It's because you write descriptions like you write the abstract to a research paper.
Yes.
In episode.
No, I've written too many of them. I think in this paper, I will blank.
I will use big words.
Yeah. And then he replies, in this comment section, we use big rock.
Based.
Well, while Tam is a little bit dismissive of us, we have some Norwegian.
It's like Henri.
We have this very nice Norwegian guy saying, TYH is always nice to listen to, and I agree.
Thank you.
And this guy is asking a question. He's like, his name's Hangry Army Hammer. Why is Anglo never on the third rail? Okay, you have an answer to that.
Because I'm there.
And it's like in the morning in East Coast time.
Yeah, he's a sleepy boy. And
then transitioning to who?
Zoomerman.
He says yes.
He says yes.
And we could go through all of his comments at once just to make it thematic. So Zoomerman made fun of me for reading manga in the original Japanese or something. I guess I said that. I don't remember because that was a long time ago in my life. And Vathashtaska makes fun of me and says, Anglo outed himself because I wrote Nietzsche, not manga. Oh, it was a reference to a book someone sent to McNabb as a joke. I guess I misread.
Oh, busted.
I projected when I saw Nietzsche, I was like, automatically I thought of manga, I guess. Even though I like read Nietzsche and I'm actually reading some secondary sources on Nietzsche now, but I guess manga is still more important to me than Nietzsche, I guess, somehow. Even though I've never read manga, really. Manga.
Either that or you don't actually know Japanese.
I don't. Really, I don't.
Got him.
And then Zimmerman says, that feel with no goth GF. And he also says,
very sorry, we hope you get one.
And he also says, I own a copy of Michael by Goebbels, published by Armark Press. I don't write in my books because I don't like ruining them.
Same.
Yeah, but I have so many books that I come to realize that unless the book is like over like $100,
the pro move is getting book tabs and like note tabs.
Oh, that's dumb.
What? No, it's not.
It's hella gay, like dubbing. Like Zimmerman says, dubbing is super gay in most cases. The only times I've watched movies that don't sound weird as hell was when I watched Stephen Chow movies because actors themselves dub B movies, the movies in Mandarin from Cantonese. So I guess this guy knows Mandarin. I like Mandarin too. I like Mandarin chicken from.
I like the Mandarin oranges.
Yes. Mandarin chicken from, what's that place? Panda Express. There we go.
I've had food there once and it sucks dick.
See, it's like any other fast food place. A lot of them are shit, but if you find the right one, if you find the right one, it's, you know, it's good. I actually don't like the Mandarin chicken. I don't like chicken that much because American chicken is disgusting.
Wow.
And you replied,
compared to Japanese video with English dubs, I can imagine why everything works better when somebody says Ching Chang Chung on video and the audio track is Chong Wong Bong.
Because of the difference between Mandarin and Cantonese.
Exactly.
Chong Wong Bong. And Zoomer Man has a political point. Guyana and others are the proof that integralism is complete BS and wouldn't work because they're just the same shithole as when they were just discovered. Perhaps even more so.
I would say more so, because before they were discovered, we didn't bring these far-flung races.
Oh, yeah. This is that country in South America where they have, like, a significant Indian population. And when I mean Indian, I'm not meaning Indio, of, you know, Native Amerindians.
I mean
people from Curryland. They shit on the street.
They shit on the colony.
Yeah, now they shit on the colony. They shit in the jungles now instead of the jungle paths, whatever it's like there.
You can take the shitter from the street and put them in the jungle.
They just shit on the jungle.
Yeah.
Like the Amerindians, like, probably had some sort of nifty little invention, like little toilet thingy they invented, but here comes the Indians. So we asked our audience, or Nikkei did, like, he asked the audience, like, hey, how you guys doing? And you got some responses. And we got Gook Nukem says, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And
yes, I'm glad you're doing all right, my friend.
Yeah. Is there anyone else? And then Danger. I'm going thematically. Okay, Nikkei. I'm doing good today. Thanks for asking, Nikkei, in all caps. I spent 8 hours today removing junipers from the area next to my driveway and nothing more than an axe, tow strap, and my truck. I've been sober from opiates and pills for 6 full months now. I've been sober from everything, stimulants and alcohol, since April 20th. Oh, that's base day to turn a change.
More pilled.
I turned 26 on April 18. I'm finally back to the gym and feeling like a normal functioning European man once again. Cheers. Well, we're glad to hear that, Danger. We're really glad to hear that. And then
Deep Fake History also, piling on the personal achievement train, says, congratulations, fam. I just got 8 months getting back into the gym and trying to live life in this fucked up world.
And then Tam says, congrats, brother. Brother. Then TYHU says, congratulations, brother. Hail victory.
Yeah.
Honk Hogan says, sigh, be me, read show description, search yard for biggest rocks available. And then we have three more. Ben Matlock, this guy. Well, look who finally woke up from their seventh month siesta, Senor Anglo. Nikkei really needs to ditch that guy if he ever wants TYH to make it to the big time.
We're already here. We're big time. Yeah. This is the time.
Where's Ben Matlock's podcast?
Now, that would be interesting content because Ben always has a lot to say about everything.
You were the one that you talked about how you wrote a paper in college about, like, some word changing over time, and it was actually interesting.
Yeah, Ben's a smart guy.
Yeah. I'm medium intelligence.
See, the grugs attack us, but really, they should be in the replies to Mr. Matlock.
Yeah. But how Shtaska says, in France, because we were talking about dubs, and we asked our audience if they dub things in Europe. Or which European countries they dub content in, because I know in Germany they dub, whereas in, like, Sweden and various other Nordic countries, they don't dub English content. So he says, in France, Italy, Spain, Germany, and Hungary, they dub practically everything. In other European countries, they mostly dub stuff for kids. So I'm not surprised Nikkei remembered a cartoon of all things. In Slav countries, they do that weird voiceover thing where a couple of bored sounding people talk over the original sound. Isn't that what dubbing is?
Well, dubbing is like a whole reacting.
Oh, okay.
Like re-voice acting.
Oh, I see. I don't really like subtitles because I can't pay attention to the rest of the screen while I'm reading them. True. But this is even worse. Fortunately, in Hungary, they only did this for cheap VHS releases. For example, this is Return of the Jedi with Hungarian voiceover. Let me see what the...
I did watch it. So, it's wow.
Yes. Oh, I accidentally left the comments. Can you read the last ones?
Yes. So we had Grug Nationalist. He says, this show is just this hour has 88 minutes with more Greeks and less humor. I mean, I replied, there's a big gap in the comedic potential of Canadians talking versus actual, versus actual talking about Canada. But I missed that show. Oh, okay. Well, we have Lucky Lucas who says, Netflixios, and I told him Jablucas.
What does that mean, Mr. Nike?
I don't know. It has as much meaning as Netflixios.
Exactly. That's as Greek to me. All Greek to me.
Exactly.
An audience, as you may know, we're having there's the adventure that I'm having with mouses. I was, you know, doing the trackball thing for a while, and I still am, I guess. But now I actually have a normal mouse. I'm kind of switching back because I started playing games again.
What are you playing?
The only game that I have, CSGO. Because I don't have any money. Well, I have money. I don't want to spend it on games.
CSGO with a tracking ball?
I did that for a bit, and so I'm like, I was like, man, this is it's not really doable.
It's awful.
Yeah. So I bought this like Logitech $20 gaming thingy.
Would you call that tracking ball torture?
Yeah, tracking ball torture. it hurts your hand. It's actually really good. It's funny because I got the trackball for purpose, like for the reason of comfort. But it's not comfortable when you play CSGO with it.
No, I don't imagine so.
And I also got one of those stupid games. I never thought I would own one of these. A gamer headset. That was like $15 on Amazon. You know, it looks like a Transformer or something or other, or a Gundam. Like that stupid gamer style, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, dude, I got a really good deal on my gamer headset.
Whoa, so, really?
Yeah, no. You know, here's some product consumption content.
We need some of that. Keep our American audiences entertained.
I went to a going out of business sale for a GameStop.
Nice.
And they had, like, all their stuff was on clearance for, like, 80% off.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had a Turtle Beach headset for like, it was like a good, I think it's Turtle Beach.
Probably.
For PS4, but what that means is it works on anything with a normal
USB
auxiliary port.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so that's, you know, get that nice headset, 80% off for the computer, and I'm using it right now.
Yeah, I feel like a dork with it on. At least I'm not getting the gamer chair, whatever purpose that serves.
It's for getting more people to subscribe to your channel. If you're sitting in a gamer chair, you get more subs. That's how it works.
Well, yeah, you sit in the gamer chair, but you also have to be a scantily clad female. And, like, show your breasts a little bit while you're playing.
Yeah, nice rack, Anglo.
I'm doing push-ups to get rid of it. Don't make fun of me.
Well, that's good. You're going to lose subscribers, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know people have been watching my content and listening to my content because of my bust.
Your rack city over there.
Yeah. From what I know, like, gaming content has never been good. But it's, like, really bad now as far as it's just, like...
Well, that's, like, hardly gaming.
It's like Coomer content, basically, right?
It's not hardly gaming. It just isn't. This is Coomer content. This is like getting women to like, you know.
Well, thank you for subscribing.
I think we've like had a
little happy dance and my boobs somehow bounce. That's why I did the happy dance, but I'm not going to tell you.
I think there's like been a level of reversion in terms of, you know, Coomer mindset.
Yeah.
So you've seen so much porn that you need to go back to, you know, just something. Just
like softcore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this girl's barely showing her boobs.
Wow. How novel.
Her nipples aren't showing.
I can finally be aroused again by something I haven't seen in so long, which is like less nudity.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting thing to think about, really.
The Coomers need to go.
Yeah. That means this podcast would be empty without you.
Me? I'm a Coomer?
No, you're not.
I'm an Alabama Coomer and I need to get gone.
So
because of me, everything's gone wrong.
Before we go on to our few articles that we have, I've been doing something, perhaps big brain, depending on your take. I've been trying to reread a lot of Shakespeare plays that I've read before, and also some new ones.
In the original English.
In the original English, yes. I don't do that No Fear Shakespeare shite.
Total queer Shakespeare.
Yeah. From what I've heard is that sometimes like the modern translation like is kind of off, or they don't get the subtlety.
They make put them in Ebonics.
Yeah. Hey, yo. Should I like to be or not to be? Cause
to bizzle or nizzle to bizzle?
It's or nizzle to bizzle. Yeah. Damn, y'all. Nothing will come of nothing. When King Lear says that to Cordelia.
Words, 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 and I can't spell none of them.
Maybe I can't heat my heart into my mouth.
Maybe take their head or take their maiden's head. Yeah, shit.
Shit, this mortal.
Hey, yo, this maiden just gave me head.
Oh! Yeah. Like, you know when it says like. And like trumpets play, you know, fanfare, you know.
Yeah.
And in the Ebonics translation, it just says rap music plays from boombox
or vuvuzela.
Yeah. No, that's African. We're doing Ebonics. This is American.
Ah, right. No, if they did the pigeon, Shakespeare. Then we could do vuvuzelas, but I guess instead it's now just like scratching on a turntable or gunshots.
Yeah, but if you guys can tell maybe from the quotes, the last one I read was King Lear, so I really only remember some King Lear quotes. Pretty good.
Much better than the Chinese version, Ling Queer.
God. Oh. Yeah. King Lear is. It's a complicated play because of keeping track of the characters. I think that's really, you know, the case with most of Shakespeare's plays. It's keeping track with like the relations between the different characters. But I want to ask you a question. When you were growing up and you had to read Shakespeare in school, did you enjoy it? Be honest with me.
Oh yeah, I did. Mostly because, the way my teachers would do that, it's like they have everybody in class just read aloud the parts.
Hmm.
So you know me, I'd be out there volunteering to do like one of the roles and I'd have some fun with it.
One of those and, guys, a volunteer.
Yes, that was me. And my friends would also do it. So I'd be able to have like these a little bit of in-class one-upsmanship with my friends for like, you know, overacting the part in a funny way. Like, even sometimes, like, getting up and pretending to fight each other. Like, just, like, shocking my teachers. And, yeah. You know, catching them off guard by, like, how into it we're getting. But that was fun. And so it made Shakespeare, like, an experience.
I gotta admit, I didn't really like I knew Shakespeare was good, but I didn't like reading it when I was in high school. Because my teachers sucked. That's the thing. And actually, no, this is what happened. So when we were going over Shakespeare, my teacher actually had to do a long leave of absence. And so we had a substitute teacher when we're doing Shakespeare. He's not a teacher. He's not an English teacher. So we're just reading. He was just reading from the book and laughing. And I don't know.
You think you get paid more as a substitute? Like, cause you can charge, like, how does that work?
I have zero clue. I cannot conceive of how much it would.
Like you can charge by the hour, and you can charge a higher hourly rate than the salary equivalent that, you know, normal teachers get paid, right? I feel like that's like the move, like substitute and just like easy job, easy money.
Read a book while them kids are, okay, do your little packet, faggots.
I'm watching a movie today, nerds.
Yeah.
Now sit down and shut up. I'm going to play Minecraft on my phone.
Were there any like cool substitute teachers at your school that like everyone wanted or not wanted, but talked about? Cause there was this one guy when I was in middle school, he literally brought an Xbox and would play it on the TV.
Have you told me this story before?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've told it to you on this podcast, but it was some like in my head, he looks like Zach Galifianakis.
Was I your substitute teacher?
Yeah, exactly. And this is like when the Xbox 360 was new, so it was kind of cool. I didn't have one. Shit was expensive.
That was the sub bringing in his his brand new Xbox 360 just to flex on the class, be like, yeah, I'm a substitute, bitch. I get to play games in class and you get to watch me, bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, teacher, can I return? No!
Nah!
I play fucking Xbox!
I'm playing World at War! Or no, COD 3 or something. Or other. Yeah.
Modern fucking warfare!
And then I had a substitute that what he did was he, instead of teaching us, he gave us financial advice.
Oh, those are the best substitutes. When it's just like another teacher at the school.
No, he's just a substitute, but he just gave us, he's like, okay, I'm not going to teach you guys today. I'm going to teach you how to save money. Like, this is not a yeshiva, okay? At the wrong school. No, I'm just kidding. But he did that.
It's not a yeshiva, but I'm still going to teach it.
These are the tricks. I got you a secret. You guys are going to be privy to some information. Now keep your lips.
I normally don't do this, but because you're a substitute class, it's my specialty. I can't help myself. I'll share you a little secrets with you goyim.
Yeah, he's telling us how to like save money or something. That's it. Okay. This is English class. But
dude, I had like this one substitute teacher, and he like just started dropping red pills on Benghazi and for like an English class. But he's like talking about how, you know, the whole situation in Benghazi was bullshit, that it was probably set up to be a failed rescue mission.
I pulled up into Benghazi. Okay. I pulled up in a new Benghazi.
I bombed out just the new Benghazi.
That's funny.
He's like, the words I'll never forget was like pulling people out of cars and sodomizing them in the street.
He said that?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember my senior year, I think there was a teacher who would like play Mumford and Sons like on the fucking classroom.
Wow,
sound
sounds
system.
A lot gayer than the substitute teacher I just talked about.
It is pretty gay.
Mumford and Sons isn't awful, it's not terrible, but like playing it in the middle of class, it's like, come on now.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed when they were popular is that they have a lot, they always say the word heart. They say that a lot.
Oh, I never noticed.
In your heart. And there's different. You could find a lot of lyrics with heart in it, I think. But I haven't listened to an album of theirs because their songs suck. They just suck my suck. They're really bad.
In terms of word count, what body part do you think has made the most appearances in music?
I think white music hit my heart, and for black my dick.
I think it's ass.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ass.
Yes.
Yeah. But my dad,
like, one thing somebody told me in high school is that in terms of human functions in German literature, there's nothing more prolifically described than Scheiße. And literally not pooping, but shitting.
Well, shitting, this is how us Germanics do it. All right, so now turning it back to Shakespeare, I'm curious, like, one, are they going to still be teaching Shakespeare in 100 years from now in the United States?
Yes, because we're going to win.
Yeah, okay, true. But how about this? Like, I don't even want to know what Shakespeare scholarship is like now. I don't even want to know. Like, I know I've seen hints of articles here and there where people are talking about, like, the problematic whiteness of Shakespeare. Or, you know,
well, they've been trying to cancel Shakespeare over Othello for a long time. And, like, Merchant of Venice.
Yeah. And one thing that they've been doing, I know this, I actually haven't really read Merchant of Venice. I've just, you know, read a few little parts of it. That's why I'm going to read it next. I know that when it was, when it was like a new play, like in the first few hundred years of its life, up until maybe like the 1800s or 1900s, Shylock was acted, portrayed in a negative light. Like, this is not a guy you want to be. But what I heard is that now, in recent times, and in a lot of Shakespeare criticism, people are, they portray, or they act, they try to make Shylock appear sympathetic in the way he speaks, you know, and, you know, people are always writing essays about why Shylock is great or whatever. I mean, I don't have the expertise.
You look up In Defense of Shylock.
That probably exists. It's probably
all right. Let me look it up right now. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't really read the play, so maybe they're onto something. I don't know, but I assume that the way it was performed in Shakespeare's time reflects kind of the intentions of, you know, of Shylock. If he was meant to be a bad character, then when Shakespeare is playing it, I assume that's the case. But I don't know.
But a holistic for Shylock in The Merchant of Venice by Junji Yu at Shandong University.
Shandong. That's what I got, a Shandong because I'm a transgender.
Do you want me to read out this abstract here?
Yeah. Hope it's not too abstract.
I'll do the first paragraph. The Merchant of Venice is a famous play of William Shakespeare, and the character Shylock is the most vivid and controversial character in this play. Traditionally, Shylock is characterized as a cruel, greedy, and stubborn villain. However, in recent years, different viewpoints about Shylock begin to appear, which considered Shylock as a social victim and a loyal Jewish. All right?
A loyal Jewish!
There's that Chinese grammar.
Ah, yeah.
They published this, and this is literally the first or second sentence. No, third.
In an abstract.
Third sentence of the abstract.
Abstract. In a freaking abstract.
In order to defend for Shylock, this thesis offers a detailed research on Shylock from the following three aspects. History background, the text and the author. Oh, there's no comma. You know, I'm an Oxford comma defender.
Oh, me too.
All the three factors are important to get a proper understanding of a literary work. Therefore, the basic structure of this thesis is as follows. Without a colon, they just use a period.
Oh, that's kind of, that's really awkward.
Yeah. The first part is an introduction. It mainly introduces the theme of the thesis, the author, and the general
introduction
plot of the
introduces.
Yes. The Merchant of Venice and the theory evidence of the defense.
Theory evidence?
Chapter one is about the social and historical background of Shylock's time. After presenting it, we may conclude that Shylock is a victim of social oppression and discrimination.
Oh, well.
Chapter two is the analysis of Shylock in the text. By examining some dialogues and scenes, we may find several positive points hiding in Shylock's inside, which may arouse the reader's sympathy and understanding.
Arouse the reader.
Wait. We may find several positive points hiding in Shylock's inside, which may arouse their sympathy and understanding. Wow.
You might find Shylock's G-spot.
Yeah, positive things hiding in Shylock's inside, which may arouse their... Chapter 3 explores the relationship between Shylock and Shakespeare. By comparison, we may see the similarities between the author and the character that he creates. In a certain sense, Shylock is Shakespeare. Through the analysis from the above three aspects, Shylock is proved to be a social victim, a Jewish national hero, and Shakespeare's alter ego. Well, thank you, Junji Yu, for
What's the university called? Fake Dong?
Shandong University. Of Science and Technology.
Well, I'm just searching Shakespeare and race, and you have...
Junji Yu's email is fish0165@126.com.
It's like when you order...
This guy is also sending me fucking spam emails in addition to writing this paper.
Yeah, or it's like when you order something from eBay, from China, like a 50-cent charger for your phone or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's...
fish0165@126.com.
Well, there's a video on YouTube called Shakespeare and Race from Oxford Academic, and it's a black lady from Lafayette College on YouTube. Shakespeare, Race, and Queer Sexuality. There's all this stuff. I read some article on the Globe, the Shakespeare's Globe website. What's it called? You know, that was the name of where he performed, the place, the Shakespeare's Globe. Oh, Anti-Racist Shakespeare. It's a big nothing article. Oh, I can't read it? Huh? It's a webinar? Where's the article? Anyways, but it was just some stupid...
Well, according to ResearchGate, this is the only paper this person's ever written. Or at least, you know, published.
Yeah. Well, maybe the first English paper they've ever written in English.
Oh, good point.
But I know that Shakespeare he's problematic because of Midsummer Night's Dream. If I remember, they're stranded on an island and there's like savages. Do people become English majors to like read black feminist literature? Like when most people, you know?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so, like, why do they...
Niggas ain't reading bell hooks.
Yeah, like, all these people that they write on this stuff, and they signal about it. You ask them, like, why did you become an English major? They'll probably say, oh, like, when I read Shakespeare, like, it was amazing. Or something like that. It's, you know, I doubt it's going to be some African Latinx story.
Yeah, it's not going to be feminism is for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like that's what it is now, basically. That's what they're trying to reduce it to.
Perhaps, but I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, they can try. They will try. They are trying. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I've had classes where they dumb down things. They're not even dumb down. That's not even, well, yeah, dumb down. But they made it more.
Wait. Sorry. I was scrolling through, this paper, and one of the first table in it is comparison of Judaism and Christianity.
Oh, some in-depth analysis.
Yes.
In the form of a table.
Oh, you're going to love this. In The Merchant of Venice, the main conflict is between the Jewish Shylock and the Christian Antonio. And that conflict also reveals the contradiction between the religion beliefs which led to their different thoughts and deeds. Therefore, it is necessary for us to be acquainted with the doctrines of the two kinds of religions, Judaism and Christianity. The following is a chart which shows the comparison of Judaism and Christianity clearly. So, Judaism on one hand versus Christianity. Judaism, God-centered, selfless. Christianity, man-centered, selfish.
Okay.
Judaism, Bible written by God with Moses as his secretary. Christianity, New Testament written by man. Judaism, man's purpose is to serve God through his law, the commandments. Christianity, God's purpose is to serve man by providing salvation for free. Judaism, Jews believe in Moses because God gave him authority. Christianity, Christians believe in Jesus because he gave himself authority. Judaism, God controls evil and uses it to punish sinners and for other purposes. Christianity, the devil controls evil and uses it to rebel against God. Judaism, doing God's commandments is a privilege and an opportunity that provides true freedom. Christianity, God's laws are a burden and a curse that enslaves and condemns man. Judaism, God creates and runs the world to serve him. Christianity, evil controls the world, which will ultimately be destroyed. Judaism, God creates man in his image, thus man has a soul and free will. Christianity, man creates God in his image, thus Jesus is declared to be a deity. Judaism, God's commandments are binding obligations. Christianity, God's law is a nice idea, but it is only fruits of the Spirit, not a duty. Thoughts?
Well, he's a fruit
of... Yeah, he's a fruit of duty.
Yeah, that is like the lowest tier analysis I've ever seen between two religions.
From the chart, we can see clearly that Judaism and Christianity are two completely different religions with their separated doctrines. They are both closer and farther apart than any two other religions. On the one hand, they are talking about the same thing with different viewpoints, but on the other, while dialogue between any two other religions may always fall back on the idea that they do not really contradict each other because they have no common ground, Jews and Christians both know who Jesus is and fundamentally differ about who he is. What? He is the stumbling stone. Nevertheless, the conflict between the two religions is rather obvious, which is the root of anti-Semitism. Summary. It is just due to the special social background that we should analyze Shylock from a historicist perspective. Shylock, a member of Jews, is in fact a victim of anti-Semitism and social oppression. His religion belief is in great conflict with the dominant religion.
Belief. Of
with the dominate religion. Which leads him to live in the lowest position of society and could only earn a living by moneylending. Therefore, it's not proper to say that he is greedy. He is just struggling to survive. He is indeed a social victim.
This is worse. This is like reading, you know, when you do peer review and you're reading someone in your class's paper or something.
This is published by PsyEDU Press.
Well,
it's all one word and doesn't have a second capitalization. So it's maybe it's
PsyEDU?
PsyEDU Press.
PsyEDU! That was really bad.
That was awful. There's no citations included for this chart. This nigga just wrote it.
That's kind of base. Well, no, it's not. It's not
like everything he said was cringe.
Yeah, but just like Chad don't need to cite sources. I just nigga no shit. You seen that meme?
Yeah. I'm looking through his citations here and nothing. Literally nothing here is
you'll get nothing.
Like comparing Christianity and Judaism. Everything is just about Merchant of Venice.
This is just my thoughts on what I obviously have not studied these religions in any depth, and I'm going
to... Oh, wait. We have one. Christian Beliefs and Anti-Semitism, 1966 by Charles Glock.
I got my Glock ready.
My Glock citation ready.
Yeah. Very stupid human being. Yeah. That's just boring. No, it's not boring. It's like stupid.
It's annoyingly stupid. It's like this bullshit characterization of both religions. Mostly, like, at least for some of these, it's directly backwards.
Yeah.
Like, Judaism being God-centered and selfless versus Christianity man-centered and selfish.
Yeah, that...
Like, nigga, you got it backwards.
Yeah. Very bad.
Yeah, an impromptu reading of this god-awful article by a Chinese English major.
There are a lot there. I've seen that. I've had a...
At the Mandong University of Science and Technology.
The Mandong?
The Mandong University.
Hoi vey. Oh, God. Well, I know, like, before we go on to other stuff, I don't know if he still lives, but one of the big Shakespeare scholars was Harold Bloom, I think his name was. Anyway, and he's going to interpret the Western canon for us. Bloom, someone named Bloom, Harold Bloom. Because he knows everything. He was born in a Yiddish-speaking household where he learned literary Hebrew. He learned English at the age of 6. So he's not even like
a... And then he learned to subvert the Goyim at age 7.
Yeah. So I guess we could turn now to our articles. I'm going to go... I'll start off with this one. This is the Virginia Theological Seminary pays first round of reparation checks.
This what is religion is for?
Campus reform.
Judeo-Christianity, I'm sure.
Let's see. It's got to be... oh. Guess what? The Episcopal Church.
Emphasis on the piss.
Yeah. So this is the summary from Campus Reform. Quick sentences. Descendants of slaves will receive approximately 2,000 annually from the institution.
Annually?
Yeah, annually. So I guess, you know, rest of their lives, I guess. The school is researching claims and making payments using funds from a $1.7 million endowment.
Wow.
Endowment from the farts.
Yes.
That was so bad.
National Endowment for the Farts. Very good. Very good, Anglo.
Research German culture.
No!
I'm sorry. I'm a big Teutonophile, but I got it, you know. Jokes are jokes. So, yeah, apparently this is in Virginia. The school is paying reparations to descendants of black slaves that worked on the institution's campus prior to abolition. Curtis Prather, the school's director of communications, explained to Campus Reform that this school has a research team dedicated to investigating records and claims. He said the school has made 16 payments to date using funds from $1.7 million endowment established in 2019. So each annual payment is $2,100.
Yeah, I guess so.
Reparations will also extend to descendants of low-wage black employees that worked at the school during Reconstruction and Jim Crow. Nothing about the there probably were some low-wage white workers too. And, you know. There is no plan to end the initiative. Every year is...
access.
Huh?
I should claim access to these funds. Like, I have a right to them.
No, my English ancestors, they were not particularly dignified. They were, indentured servants, or at least some of them were. Give me some reparations, my guy. But I'm not going to get them. I know I'm not.
Like how many royalties do they pay for every citation of Aristotle or Plato?
Yeah.
that they have in any of their theological
yeah,
works.
Yeah, give that to the Greeks. There.
You fucking owe me as a descendant. I'm going to send a letter tomorrow claiming I need more reparations for unpaid citations.
There's no plan to end the initiative. Every year recipients will receive a payment from VTS. The amount of the checks will fluctuate each year based on the returns of the endowment and the number of shareholders identified. Since the New York Times article was published last month, significant contributions have come into the fund. The school website's adds that, quote, additional funds have been allocated to support the work of Black congregations that have historical ties to the seminary, to create programs that promote justice and inclusion, and to elevate the work and voices of Black alumni and clergy within the Episcopal Church. The Episcopal Church is literally just like, who can signal the hardest?
Yeah.
About being a center-left shitlib. You know? Because I have a family member.
I just looked at the comments.
Oh, gosh.
Hot stores statewide rejoice. CNN Sucks says, I am still waiting for the Viking countries to pay me reparations for...
Ah, you're not getting that.
Still waiting.
You're not getting that, boy. Patty says, well, at least no taxpayer money is involved. Good Thank principle. You, a good Thank principle. You, a good principle conservative take. It's like, you know, when... In 20 years, well, when Target starts selling, starts selling like porn in the DVD set, or they won't have that in there, but you know,
you'll have to buy it.
They start selling dildos, and you know, close to the children's section in Target. Well, no taxpayer money is involved. Genie
don't
says,
like it, "Don't buy it."
I wonder who the dolt was that left their hard-earned money to endow this crap.
Ellipses. Larry Sparks has the best fucking. Take here. Virginia Theological Seminary needs to pay reparations to all the white soldiers that died to free the slaves. Fuck yeah. Pay them to white men.
Yeah. But regarding the Episcopal Church, those are good comments. I'm not I'm not moving them aside. Well, I guess I am. I have a family member, not by blood, a family member who is a part of the Episcopal Church. And they literally live off of signaling. That's how they thrive. His Facebook profile is like four layers of those like dumb Facebook frames. You know what I mean? You know how people like have different layers? Like
the signal frames.
Yeah, the signal frames. He signals so hard. There's different layers. Like we support trans. We love human beings or something stupid.
This profile. We respect Black lives.
Yeah. But I don't. And these are the people that said, hey, like 5 years ago, oh, we're going to move to the nicer neighborhood for our kids.
You can go and piss on their lawn signs that say, in this house, refugees are welcome.
And science is epic.
Science is Evan.
Science is epic in this house.
In this house, we fucking love science.
In this house, imagine like some bug man, like a reverse American History X, at the, you know, the dinner table scene, like his
see this? It means I fucking love science.
It means we fucking love science in this house. It's a like Pickle Rick tattoo or something.
He just pulls down his shirt to show the Pickle Rick tattoo.
Yeah. All right, now. That is gay. It's so signally and absurd, and obviously it doesn't do anything to help people, because why just...
money to niggers.
You're giving them.
We tried that, bro. You know how it works.
They already have reparations. They've had reparations for a long time from all the welfare we get. I know it sounds conservative take, but
that never like were slaves. in their ancestral history. We gave them money too, and you know what? Same shit.
But this is, shows you how effed up, you know, the white working class has it in the United States, because they're not on the bottom of the food chain. And the American left, they worship the bottom of the food chain, or what seems to be the bottom of the food chain. And whites are not quite there yet, and they're always not going to be there. And they're just going to be completely ignored. Always. You're going to be completely ignored. Yeah, because there's always, you live in like you live in the holler in West Virginia or Kentucky, but like, you know, your ancestors weren't slaves, so we're not gonna pay attention to you at all. You know, like, I have poverty in my family. I have poverty in my family in rural Indiana. These bastards aren't giving them money. We're not getting reparations for being descendants of indentured servants. Like,
shit, I got poverty in my family today.
Yeah, I do today.
My relatives around the country, they're still poor. Where's their money? Nowhere.
Well, no, but they benefit from a system of white
oppression. Supremacy.
That's obvious. Like, from a strict Marxist perspective, that's total ideology. Bourgeois
bullshit. It's just complete ideology.
Yeah, exactly.
I claim this is more than ideology.
It makes people, it literally destroys class solidarity, if there even really was that, between the races.
In fact, it might even be more racist.
Yeah. And I know, because I could say nigger. I can say.
Embrace me and say, you can call me nigger.
So,
I remember seeing that video years ago, like, when I was in high school, and it was the best thing.
Yeah, if a leftist gets mad at me and says, like, why are you saying that word? Well, Slavoj Žižek, he's a great, you know, Lacanian Marxist Hegelian. And he says that, and you read him, so it's okay if I say it.
Yes. Peace.
So we're going to go on to the next article from Campus Reform. Professors declare correct grammar is racist. No such thing as standard English at symposium. So this happened at Towson University. They hosted a virtual symposium to discuss anti-racist teaching practices. It was called, the symposium was called Anti-Racist Pedagogy Symposium, which criticized university.
Anti-racist pedophiles.
Yeah, anti-racist pedophiles. It criticized university writing curriculum and programs for being racist and perpetuating whiteness.
So if you grade on a rubric that includes grammar, you are racist. I mean, that's how Mr. Junji Yu was able to publish.
Yeah, exactly.
Chart article.
It was literally a chart article. It's like worse than a BuzzFeed article.
Yeah, no. BuzzFeed articles are better editing than that.
Yeah. But I imagine that it was actually probably even edited and it was worse before.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this was through PsyEDU Press.
Like,
never heard of it.
Yeah, it's probably some. Was it peer-reviewed?
World Journal of Social Science.
Hmm. It sucks either way. If it's peer-reviewed, then that's really pathetic.
In 2020, they received 114 articles.
114 cents endowment.
Accepted 61, rejected 50, and published 9.
Hmm. And this is, okay.
Anyway, go. Continue.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. English departments are so paused, and they're so caught up in this echo chamber of extreme signaling. It's a feedback loop that I don't, they're gonna collapse soon, or not soon, but they're gonna collapse eventually. And so maybe the only places where you can actually have a genuine training in like English literature will probably be some like obscure liberal arts college somewhere that's like a religious liberal arts college, or one of those, I know there's a few of those colleges where it's like purposefully like based on the Western canon, and they make sure like that's like their purpose.
But those are expensive, and those aren't going to be available to your average fella.
No.
So, like, and this is going to go down into the public schools too. And so, your average American is like not going to have access, or not. They will have access, obviously, because you could download and you can have free access to all these great works of literature. But they're not going to be shown Shakespeare or anything. They're not going to be told to read these things, and they're going to be told to read. Was that Mango Street? Is that a book? Something on Mango Street?
Mango Street?
I remember that when I was. Is there a book with Mango Street in the? Yeah, The House on Mango Street. It's a 1984 novel by Sandra Cisneros, a Mexican-American author. You know, it's about a 12-year-old Chicana girl growing up in Chicago. Wait, no, is that Chicago? Yeah, in Chicago. Yeah, you're going to be reading this instead of Shakespeare.
Oh, Patty's back, actually, in the comment section.
Oh, same guy?
Woman, I believe. She says, try getting a paper written in Black English published in a respectable journal. See how far you get. Maybe in a feminist or grievance studies periodical, but I said a respectable journal.
Well, these people that run the respectable journals are on, they have a religious, they're going through like religious conversion to the religion of like
George Floyd.
Yeah, literally. The religion of George Floyd. Floydism. Floydianity.
Somebody else.
Floydianity. I imagine if he had you know, I'm going to make a mixtape. I'm going to call it Floydianity.
I wonder what any of his porn features were called.
Gosh. Sherwin says, just so you are aware, there simply aren't any respectable journals anymore. Academia has been fully colonized by the mediocrity of CRT and leftism in general.
Wild Man on Earth says, I see a lot of them have hyphenated last name.
Oh, God.
That is the surest sign that you are listening to an idiot of the highest order. I wonder if he means if any of them will include, like, Bergblatz.
I like this one. I'm going to skip Bent. XOC Cook says, I can guarantee that this is a case of modern no child left behind socially promoted Dumas chicken that has
Dumas chicken
that has come home to roost. Those that can't teach from unknown. He quoted that. Reading and properly spelling the English language is fundamental. All caps. I guess. It wasn't fundamental enough for you. Especially now, nearly everyone has a supercomputer in their possession. Bunch of Mensas. Hashtag death to Democrat.
The Democrat party.
Not even Demon Rat. Democrat.
And I guess nobody told them they could do rat as well.
Hashtag never for Biden. Hashtag Hispanics for Trump. Oh, that explains.
Hispanics for Trump.
If English is racist, then why are there English teachers? They are spreading racism. No need for teachers if there is no standard.
That's actually funny.
Yeah. No, exactly. Because like they, yeah. Because they still will correct your grammar because it's not completely at, it's not policy. So they're perpetuating extreme racism. They're being racial terrorists, by inflicting whiteness onto blacks. Why not look at the large Democrat-controlled cities with their large minority populations and see the future if you let go of the reins of the country? Yeah, there's too many comments.
Yeah, no, we don't have to read most of them.
I like this one. Speaking in English is better than speaking in grunts and clicks. So chi shi sile progressive professors, which is Chinese for eat shit and die.
Chinese for what?
Eat shit and die. Eat shit and die, but he spelled it with ch. With a lot of eat shit and die.
It's Chinese for this other dude, Chinese.
These people are like dying of dementia, and they're like. Oh, dude, this is literally like a fake post from like we would do. Nazi demon craps. KKK. Party trying to bring Ubonics back. Disgusting. Yeah, because the Klan was very pro Ubonics. That's what they were known for.
Well, think of it. Ku Klux Klan, all that's just gibberish.
Yeah.
What do those words mean? Nothing. It's Ubonics.
Yeah, my gosh.
Part of the demon rat agenda to make black people stupid.
I like this.
To make numbskulls and whack jobs, knuckleheads.
And demon crap. Demon poops.
Keep them on the demon crat plantation.
They're on the demon crat party. I mean, demon crap toilet.
The porta potty plantation.
Where they're forced to shit. In shit. In shit.
What?
I like this because it's like signaling. Someone should warn one of my favorite actors and voiceover performers, James Earl Jones, that he's being racist for using perfect grammar. Oh, he's my favorite. This black guy, he's totally my favorite. I love him. He's the best voiceover. I love him. Yeah. Refund these brainwashing camps. Don't let your kids go there. Refund. Okay. We didn't read all the article, but April Baker Bell, Associate Professor of Language Literacy and English Education at Michigan State University, stated that it is evident that, quote, anti-blackness that is used to diminish black language of black students in classrooms is not separate from the rampant and deliberate anti-black racism and violence inflicted upon black people in society. You said black a lot in that sentence. Teacher attitudes include assumptions that black students are somehow linguistically, morally, and intellectually inferior because they communicate in black language.
Well, I mean, I don't have to assume that. I could just, you know, demonstrate this.
Yeah.
Like, linguistic, moral, and intellectual? None of these words describe, black communication.
This is Americanism, and the conservatives don't even know it. This is like the new ideology of America. And not even, it's like a continuation, if you want, even, of the whole all men are created equal shit. This is the trajectory of Americanism, and conservatives don't even know it.
But that's why we're here, to tell them.
To tell them racism is the true patriotism.
Correct.
Yeah. I really hope, I'm always curious if like reparations will actually start happening in certain, like, and obviously it's happening there in that theological seminary. I wonder if any more institutions will start doing that. Or like literally just like, oh, we're going to give like black students like $10,000 in financial aid instead of the $5,000 that we give everyone else. Yeah.
As long as they're Jews in this country, there will be some,
retard.
They're suing to get their own slice or make it illegal for everybody.
Ah, man. Things are total beautiful world we live.
There will be a Stephen Miller there to sue on behalf of Jews for not getting
$1,000
as well.
It's anti-Semitic.
To exclude Jews from money.
Yeah. Excluding Jews from money is literally the Holocaust.
Well,
that's what the Holocaust was.
That's what it actually was.
Oh, no! Well, they had a collective vision, and that's what the ovens were. They were so traumatized by losing all their money that they had like some collective conscious vision of being in an oven because it was so traumatizing. Like some sort of racial spirit awakened and had a dream inside them, or nightmare, rather. I don't know.
Collective unconscious of Jews is waking up. Maybe that's how they all got the gas out of the showers myth.
I could see that Episcopal family member of mine paying some reparations to black people.
Well, call him up and say, give it to me instead.
Yes, because I'm descended from indentured servants, and we've been used by this
serve the money more.
Capitalist system to be cannon fodder for their wars, capitalist, imperialist wars. But I guess it doesn't matter.
It does matter, and they owe us money.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to use, within your legal rights, any government help that you can. Don't be one of those, well, I don't need it. No, you do need it.
Use emotional coercion to persuade people to give you money with their full consent.
Well, you know, there's this thing, like, there's a case of someone who could have gotten food stamps, but they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's just bad.
Like, I'm not a nincompoop.
I'm not a nincompoop.
I'm not a jerk.
I'm not a thug.
I'm not a youth.
I'm not a youth. I'm not a hip-hop listener.
Urban teen.
I'm not an urban teen. But that... I got in an argument about this with my...
Constantine was urban teen.
I got in an argument with this with some of my family members because they were talking about... I said how, like, oh, if I can get any government help, I'm going to use it, you know, if I ever could do this or that. And they're like, no, it's coming out of my paycheck.
No, you can't do this.
It's coming out of my paycheck. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Start a fight over it if you're right in front of their face and you're not black. If you're black, they'd just be like, don't you see you're on the demon rat plant?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to free you, brother.
Yeah, but the thing is the amount of money that's going to me is so minuscule compared to all the money that you spend to Israel and all these other countries.
Oh, foreign yeah.
Aid. It's so small that it's not going to affect your paycheck if I, you know, get on welfare for something. I probably not, but who knows? You never know what happens in life. And there's nothing wrong because. You know, we paid into the system by, like, my ancestors fought in wars.
Every black person listening to this, if there are any, message needs to be stop giving to Israel and start giving us reparations instead. Like, it needs to be framed in a zero sum only.
Yeah.
Tell them, like, hey, gives me that from Israel.
Yeah. But it's funny because in the next breath, the conservative type will defend extreme government spending.
We need to give money to our greatest ally.
They defend against the Iranians, sponsors of ISIS, you know. And it's really hard for me to get some people out of that. I'm just waiting for the right time. Maybe things will come around. But I've tried with some of my family members, but they're totally stuck on that, like, Iran, Israel stuff. Yes. I remember the good old days when the way to test your PC was Crysis. I don't even know if people do that anymore because I don't know anything about video games. Crysis can probably play on a laptop now. Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
But I think also one thing about Crysis, if I remember correctly, was that it was kind of the programming wasn't the best or something, wasn't optimized well. Or maybe that's another reason why it was also a benchmark thing. But Crysis, didn't that come out like 2007?
I have no idea.
Yeah, 2007. 14 years ago, almost.
Shit.
Yeah. And that was the benchmark for quite some time. Ah, my goodness. Is there a new Crysis, do you know, that people use to test?
I don't know.
Oh. Let me search hardest game to run on PC 2021.
It's Minecraft with the correct amount of mods.
Yeah. Well, this one from PC Gamer says it still has Crysis.
Huh.
Hitman from 2016, Grand Theft Auto 5, Battlefield 1. Division. These are all older games. God, games are a waste of money. I'm gonna water cool my computer. I wonder if anyone has instead of water cooling, they used Baja Blast as coolant or whatever.
Oh, that's gotta exist.
That's gotta be somewhere. Baja Blast.
God, Baja Blast cooled PC.
Number 5, Baja Blast out of my ass.
Oh, now I have the thought that just popped into my head was a rare Pokemon card, Baja Blastoise.
Baja Blastoise?
Yeah.
Is that a joke or is that a real?
It's a joke. It doesn't exist, but it'd be a funny special edition card.
I don't know anything about Pokemon.
That's lame.
Oh, you don't know this product? Oh, God.
Yes.
That's the way.
Matter of fact.
That's the way I get people, and they're like, "Oh, you haven't seen this?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know this product."
Work on me. I will double down every time.
Like die hard.
Because all the product that I consume is old, and all the product that I don't consume is cringe. Funnily enough,
I've never even seen Die Hard. Like, what does that even mean?
It's a movie.
See, you're gonna go defend product like it's
you're gonna go defend being a homosexual.
I haven't seen Star Wars 1, 2, the beginning. I haven't seen any of them besides the one with the black guy.
I won't tell you to watch Star Wars. It's not fair.
I haven't seen, I don't know, something. I remember when I had to watch Django Unchained in theater with my uncles. They brought me to see that. No, they're not married. They're brothers. My two uncles.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified. I didn't even think of that.
Because I almost said my two uncles, but then I realized that sounds kind of gay.
I don't know, man. I assumed only the best out of you. Not that you
have. Well, I have no control over that. Some
uncles who may have predated you.
I'm getting kind of exhausted. Thank you guys for listening. Hopefully we'll be back maybe soon. But enjoy this ending. So say goodbye, Nietzsche. I was going to call you Nietzsche.
Nietzsche.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Number 15, nigger in my house.